just come right on up here. He done preached twice today. It's his third sermon. He's either wound up for bear or he's about to burn out. So we're going to find out. So Brother Josh. Okay, sure.
Good to be back. It's always good to visit other churches, but it really is good to be back. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. And I told Sister Becky before the services, she had mentioned something about me going and preaching, and I said, yeah, they had a morning service and then lunch on the grounds and then an afternoon service. And she said, so we're going to get leftovers. And I had just mentioned lunch on the grounds. It took me a minute to register what she was talking about. She was talking about the sermon, not the food. And I said, no, I've got something fresh that I just, put together not too long ago this afternoon. But then during the greetings, Brother Craiglow said to me, he said, well, brother, I had to fix a windshield wiper that was broke. That's why I wasn't here Sunday night. So I told him, I said, that's all right. I'm going to do the leftovers from last Sunday night and get him straightened out. No, I'm just kidding. But, all right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 through verse number 3 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. May we look to Jesus, lest we would be wearied and faint. Title of the sermon tonight is Running the Christian Race. Running the Christian Race. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to You this evening just thanking You for the opportunity to be in Your house, to have the health and the strength and the privilege of being free to come to a place to worship You. And Lord, just thank You for Your Word. And for the people here at New Life Baptist Church, I pray that You deal with each and every one of us here this evening accordingly as You see fit. That our lives may be surrendered to You. That we would run our race in a way that would be pleasing to You. That others would see Christ through us. And that we would have the opportunity to witness to them and tell them that it's not anything within ourselves that makes us who we are, but it is You living in us. And Lord, I pray that we would set aside the weights and the sin and all the things that would distract us or prohibit us from running the race in a way that would be pleasing and deserving to our Lord. Thank You for the example You've given us in Christ and in giving us Your Word and the other godly examples we have. And Lord, I pray that You would be pleased with the services here this evening. Forgive the speaker. And Lord, let not anything hinder us from having worship and fellowship with You here this evening. And we'll be careful to give You the praise and the glory and the honor that You are due. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Running the Christian race. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The first point I would like to bring out is, remember the witnesses. Well, remember, of course, that Hebrews 12 follows Hebrews 11. But Hebrews 11 is often called the Hall of Faith. Instead of the Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Faith. And you have great men and women of faith listed in Hebrews 11. You've got Noah, you've got Enoch, you've got Abel, you've got Ruth, Rahab, David, there's Abraham, Jacob. A lot of great men and women of faith. But the thing that made these people significant wasn't anything special in them. And I think Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. We look at these people, we read the stories of what they did for the Lord, and we think, man, if I could just do some of that. Well, God, first and foremost, has not called each and every one of us to be these specific people. He's called us to be ourselves and to live in the day and time we live in. But it wasn't anything special within them that set them apart other than their faith in the God that they served. And God worked through them. And the same God that worked through them is still the same God that works through people today. So my question is, where is the Davids? Where are the Noahs? Where are the Jacobs? Where are the Rahabs? Where are these men and women of our day and time? May we be those examples, those witnesses. You know, because sadly enough, we get upset that the Bible is not esteemed highly in our nation and in our country and in our society. But you know what? To so many of us as Christians, many times the Bible has become no more than just a history book. And it is a book of history, don't get me wrong. But it is a living book. And many people out here are not going to read this book. They're going to meet you and I. And we're going to be the only Bible that they may read. And may we be witnesses, just like what we have to pattern ourselves after here in Hebrews 11 and throughout the Scripture. But ultimately, patterned after Jesus Christ. So if we're going to run the race, remember all those that went before you. You know, and ultimately, remember Jesus Christ. He put on the flesh for 32, 33 years and walked in this world just like you and I. He has had the same struggles that we've had. And yet He done it perfectly to give us an example of how we should pattern ourselves. And we say, well, you know, we're only human. Yes, but if you and I have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in us, we have no excuse. We need to die to self and live for Christ. Remember the witnesses, all those that have gone on before us, that read through chapter 11 following tonight's service at some point. And just remember, I think of a race, I think of, you know, I seen a guy yesterday, he sent me a video of a guy that broke the mile record, just I guess here recently. He ran 3 minutes and 42 seconds or something, a mile and 3 minutes. But what I noticed around him in that stadium was a great bunch of people surrounding him, cheering him on. You know what? That's what we have in heaven with these witnesses and the angels, and that's what we have here tonight. And that's what we ought to be to one another. That's why it's important that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, because we're to encourage one another. Because it does get tough. Just like running a physical race gets tough on the flesh. Living in this old world is tough. But we're here to encourage one another and to point each other, say, well, you know, you can do it because you have Christ living in you. It was their faith that set these great men and women apart in the God that they served. But not only to remember the witnesses, but number two, look what it says here. It says, with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Relinquish the weights. If you're going to run a physical race, you know, every one of us know in here, if we're going to run and do our best and be as fast and as expedient as we can be in running a physical race, then you're going to have to do it as light as possible. You've got to relinquish the weights. And there's some things in this life that aren't necessarily sinful in and of themselves, but they can hold you back from following the Lord and running the Christian race as we should do. You know, God has given a man. He says that a man is to work and provide for his family. And a man that doesn't do that says he's worse than an infidel. But there's a balance there because, you know what, that same means that God has set before you and I as men to provide for our families can become a weight. Our jobs can become a weight that hinder us from running our Christian race as we should. Our children. Children are a heritage from the Lord. But our children, if they come before the Lord, guess what? They become a weight. There's nothing wrong with working. There's nothing wrong with children. There's nothing wrong with money in and of itself. But money can become a weight. All these things in and of themselves may not be sinful. But outside of the context that God has put them in, they can become a weight and hinder you and I from running the race as we should. I remember in the Army, we had a flak vest, a bulletproof vest with a bunch of plates in it when we were in there. And some of us would use it to train in. We would put that vest on, it weighed about 45 pounds. And we had a physical fitness test we had to pass twice a year. So during the year, sometimes some of us would put that vest on with all those weights, and we would run in that to train. But you know, when it come time for the physical fitness test, you didn't see any of us with that big weighted vest on. Why? Because we had to run this rate. We had to run 2 miles in a certain length of time, and we wanted to do that as quick as possible and easy as possible. If you're going to run the Christian race, there's some things you're going to have to set aside. They may not be wrong, but if they're coming before the Lord, that's a weight. It needs to go. Relinquish the weights. Television is a great thing that I think of. I love sports with the best of them. But you know what? If I stay up late on a Saturday evening watching an athletic event, nothing wrong with that, with the ball game, watching it on television. But you know what? If it hinders me coming to the house of the Lord, not being ready to come in to hear Sunday morning and worship, it's a weight. It needs to go. And you could think of other examples in your own life. So things that aren't necessarily sinful, but they're weights. And he says here, let us lay aside every weight. But then he goes on to say, and let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So if we're going to run the race, we need to remember the witnesses, relinquish the weights, and renounce the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, when I looked that word up, so easily beset, I found it pretty interesting. It meant had the meaning of being easily or skillfully surrounding, almost like a cloak or a jacket we would put on to prevent ourselves from the cold. And that's what it says that sin does to each and every one of us, that we were born a sin with a sin nature and born into sin, and sin's all around us. If you're going to run the Christian race and do it to the best of your ability for the glory of God, you know what? That sin that surrounds you, he says here, let us lay aside every sin which does so easily beset us. And you know what? We can go through here, and each and every one of us may have different sins that we struggle with. For example, alcoholism, drunkenness is a sin. But you know what? Satan doesn't tempt me with that. You could bring up alcohol, the pastor, and he never would do this, but even my best of friends could bring alcohol before me and say, here, drink this, Brother Josh. I have no interest in it. It's not a sin I struggle with. But you know what? There's people that do. And they need to abstain from it, stay away from it. All appearances of it. But there's other sins that I may struggle with that you don't struggle with. And he says, hey, if you're going to run that Christian race, you have to lay aside those sins which does so easily beset you. And those could be a great multitude of different things for each and every one of us. But understand that Satan knows each and every one of us better than we know ourselves. And you know what he'll set before you? He won't bother to tempt you with the things you don't struggle with. He'll tempt you with the very things that attack your weaknesses. And that's why we have to resist Satan, as the Bible says, and he'll flee. You know what? Resisting, when I'm resisting something, you've seen people resisting arrest, they're putting a fight up against it. It's not always easy. Satan's not going to leave you alone at the very first instance of that. But start quoting Scripture to him. Start telling him, say, hey, well, you know what? I know that's what you're tempting me to do, but the Bible says this. That's what the Lord did when he was tempted of Satan, wasn't it? He said, it is written. It is written. We have to resist. But, you know, there's areas that we all would struggle with. Areas that attack our weaknesses. Areas of that we may be exposed to in the workplace. You know, there's a lot of different sins that could be listed here that would easily beset many of us. But he says here, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us. But number four, if we're going to run our Christian race to the glory of God for the best, to the best of our ability, we need to run the race with patience. You think about it, the devil is the master of deception. And you know what he'll do? He'll try to get you and I to take shortcuts. Oh, it's not really that big a deal that you pray. It's not really that big a deal that you read your Bible. It's not really that big a deal. You don't have to go to church to be spiritual. And there could be a great other things that you could add to the list. But the old adage that we've all heard as kids, cheaters never win, that's true. And that's true especially in the spiritual realm. You know why? Because the great judge, the one that's overseeing that, Jesus Christ, will not let you and I take shortcuts. We try it, you know what? He'll whip our hide off. Run with patience. You got to remember, and I have to remind myself of this because I'm kind of high strung as it is. And then not to mention I kind of like caffeine. So it's really not a good mix, you know. Everybody tells me, hey, how much soda have you had? And I said, none. But the next thing you know, I'm drinking a soda. But nonetheless, you know, you have to remember that the Christian race is a marathon, not necessarily a sprint. You know, we kind of want to get in there and get it done, but that's not how it is in life. You all know that. We have to run the Christian race with patience, waiting upon the Lord, depending upon Him. I think of the building that we're in the process of purchasing, Lord willing. What if we would have just kind of been persistent and said, you know what, we want that piece of property out there on Todd's Road, and you know, so what? If it's $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to put curbs and sidewalks in, we're going to have it. You know, God may have let us do that. Said, hey, it's not what's best for you, but I'm grateful that the pastor, God led him and he showed some patience. Said, hey, you know what? And look, I believe God's got something even better for us. And you know what? When we try to take a shortcut in the Christian life, what we're doing is shortchanging ourselves. Anytime we go the way that God wouldn't have us to go, it's not hurting the others. It's hurting us. And the Lord doesn't prohibit us from having things just to be mean and to be a dictator. He does it for our good. Run with patience the race that's set before you. He says here, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So number one, remember the witnesses. Number two, relinquish the weights. Number three, renounce the sin. Number four, run with patience. And number five, run your race. You know what you and I need to do? And this goes for the person standing behind the pulpit just as much as it does the person in the pew. But it applies to each and every one of us. We have to focus upon our walk and our race with the Lord. Not Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so or this church over here. But what God has for New Life Baptist Church, and more specifically, me as a member of that church, and run the race that's set before you. You know, when we get our focus off of the race that God has set before us, it will cost us. I remember running in high school. I ran track, and I was not real good at sprinting. I was a distance runner, and so I would run 2 miles. Would be one of the races I would run, which was 8 laps around the track in high school, 400 meters each. And I learned this the hard way. I had ran the 8 half mile, I'd ran the mile, and I kind of knew, the guys that were pretty good at it. And if I could beat these guys, I'll win. And the same thing with when it came to the 2 mile. I kind of knew I have to watch for this guy and this guy. If I can stay ahead of them, I'll win. But my coach had, before the race, he said, Josh, I want you to be on that first lap. And he's standing there with a stopwatch. I want you to be right here at this time. Second lap, I want you to be at this time. Third lap, I want you to be at this time. And that worked well for several races. That's all I focused on, what my coach was telling me, and I did pretty well. But in one particular race, there was this kid that ran the mile, and he was really good at the mile. And I don't remember if he won or I won or whatever, but nonetheless, it come time for the 2 mile. And he normally didn't run it. But Brother Danny, he was on the track. And I said, well, uh-oh. So, all of a sudden, I forgot everything my coach had told me about being there on this lap and this lap. You know what I did? When the gun went off, you would have thought that guy was running a 100-meter dash, not 2 miles. He took off, and I said, oh, if I let him get too far ahead, I'll never catch him. You know what happened? He ran like that for 2 laps. And I was doing everything I could to keep up because I didn't want him to get too far ahead. And at the end of the second lap, his coach was standing at where would be the finish line 6 laps later and said, come on over here, Nathan. And he just walked off the track. He was what they called a rabbit. He had other teammates that were pretty good, and his duty was to see if he could distract anybody else and kind of get them out of their race so these other guys could do it. Guess who was the dummy that did it? You know what? Normally, these guys that don't beat me that were on his team, they had never beat me. And that was the only time they beat me because I was winded. I got beat by guys that normally I'd beat by almost a half lap. But because I had not ran the race that was set before me. You know what? That will happen to you and I, as spiritually speaking, too. If we start worrying about what the person next to us is doing, when the preacher's speaking, we say, man, I hope such and such is listening, or I wish such and such had been there. Guess what? God knows who's going to be there, and He knows who He's speaking to. And we need to rest assured that God would have us to hear that and see how it applies to our lives. Not everyone else. Don't worry about everyone else. We need not. There's nothing wrong with saying, well, this church did that and it worked for them. But we don't need to be upset if our church doesn't do those things. We have to run the race that's set before us. We're in a different place than some other people. You know what? And I wish some New Testament Baptist churches would understand that when it comes to missions. I've grown up in church all my life, and I've seen some churches put missionaries through the ringer, Brother Craig Lowe, because they didn't do things in Brazil quite the way we did them here in America. Not understanding, they're in a different culture. Now, the Bible doesn't change. The principles don't change. But there is difference in culture. And we need to give some liberty to those brothers and sisters that with those things. Run the race that is set before us. Let us focus on us, not others. But notice in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. You know, when you look at something, it's not just a quick glance, but it's to focus upon it. And that's what we're to do upon our Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times we as Christians, we want just a quick glance of the Lord, but we don't really want to look at Him. We don't want to observe His ways and pattern our lives after Him. Looking unto Jesus. Notice in the latter part of verse 3, He says, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." You know what happens to you and I when we get our eyes off the Lord? We're going to get weary. We're going to want to faint. We're going to want to give up. It's important that we look unto Jesus. You think about it, running a race, physically speaking, one thing that my coach always told me, he said, never look back. And you know what? He didn't want us looking to the left or right. He wanted us to pick a focal point out in front of us and focus on that point and keep going toward that point. Because what happens when you look sideways? You get all, if you try it sometime, even just walking. If you're looking over here and trying to walk, if you'll notice, your path will not be straight. Running, that happens a little more drastically. If you look back and try to run or walk, I remember we're about to go to Jamaica in a couple weeks. We went a couple years ago, and we were in the last day or two, and the pastor took us out into the village to buy a few souvenirs and all that. Well, some of the locals come up, and we're trying to sell us things. And this one guy was trying to sell me some marijuana and all that. And I looked back and I told him, I said, I don't want. And about that time I walked right into a little knee-high post and it just shattered my cell phone into pieces. But see, if I'd have been focused to what was ahead of me, I could have seen that and stepped to the side. Spiritually speaking, when we get our eyes off the Lord, we're in trouble. Pastor has said, you know, we need to think vertical, not horizontal. Our thinking should always be upward. And you know what it gave us incentive when I was running competitively? Was the prize. We wanted to win. We wanted that prize. Well, guess what? There's a crown for each and every one of us awaiting. May we keep our focus upon the Lord. And that ultimate prize, you know what the ultimate prize is? It's seeing Jesus Christ. and getting to be present with Him, not the crowns or the rewards. Or it's a, those are just added bonuses, in my opinion. To see family members that we love that went on, that's a great encouragement to me. But ultimately, you know what the reward is for you and I? We get to spend eternity with our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that loved us enough to send His Son to die on the cross there. And He stayed there for 3 days, stayed there, was buried for 3 nights and 3 days, and resurrected. Who endured the cross, despising the shame, done it with joy because He loved us. You know, if you're going to run the Christian race, you got to be in the race. How do you get in the race? By putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You can't be a member of this church or that church or do this or that. And some of you may be a member of this church. But if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will not receive the reward someday of getting to see Him. You'll spend an eternity in a devil's hell. But if we put our faith and trust in Him, realizing that we can't run the race perfectly, we've all messed up. The Christian race, every one of us have come short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But guess what? There's one that did run this race, and He done it perfectly. And He didn't just do that for Himself. He done that for Josh Wilson, for Steve Wainwright, or whoever you may be, if you put your faith and trust in Him. And when times get tough, and they do, and they will, some of you are in tough times right now. And if we're not, guess what? It will get tough. We have to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for encouragement, for strength. I'll leave you with one last little illustration. I was in Afghanistan that last time, and when I went the last time, Caleb was a year old, and Jordas was 2. And I had a picture of each one of them, and I had a picture of my family. And you know, there was days we wouldn't be out on mission doing anything, and I'd be sitting there, and my mind would start to wonder about home, and just you would get homesick, you just want to go home. And I looked at the calendar, and I got 15 months to go. And you just get discouraged, down, just want to, hey, you know what? But then, later on, a few months went by, and you'd get a little disappointed, a little discouraged, a little down. You know what I would do? I would take my wallet out, and I had those photos of the girls in my wallet, and I would look at them, and I would just start thinking of this many more days, and I get to go home and see them. And before long, that 15 months turned to 13, and then 6, and then 4, and then 2. And then one day, we flew into the airport in Columbus. They put us on Greyhound buses and bused us to a great big school in Ashland, Kentucky. And all of our family was there for a celebration. I'll never forget, as long as the Lord gives me my memory, stepping off that bus and seeing the girls. But you know, that's part of what kept me going. When I was about to give up and wanted to throw in the towel, was tired, was I would look at that picture and find strength to go on. You get tired, you get weary, you want to quit? Look to Jesus. Where will you find Him? Right here in these 66 books. Get in your Bible. Get on your knees in prayer. You'll find the Lord there. And you know what? It won't be long. You may not be sprinting, but you'll be able to keep going. And if all you can do is walk, then walk, spiritually speaking. But don't quit. The Lord didn't quit on us, did He? May we run the race that is set before us and do it with joy, do it with patience, remembering the witnesses, relinquishing the weights, and renouncing the sin, that we can do it to the best of our ability, not for our own good, but for the glory of God that He deserves. Pastor?
Are you running the race? Are you in the race? Are you running the race to win? Turning your hymnals, if you would, to page 413. page 413, and let's sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. May you respond as the Lord is leading you.